morning, you happy people. Okay, I'm so happy to be back here and preaching the very word of God and not my word, okay? So just listen to God as I preach. And looking at the decoration in this hall, I can't help but wish everyone an early 恭喜发财, okay? So wish your neighbor left and right, okay? 发财, okay. Okay, good. Okay, very good morning again. Wow, we are in this new series called Abide. And abide in what? In the power and beauty of God's Word. And John 15, verse 5 says this. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Now look at this diagram, you know. So as you look at this vine is a very fruitful vine, right? You know, Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And look at the branch, it's attached to the vine. As long as the branch, we the believer, is attached and connected to the vine, we will be very fruitful, right? Look at the bunch of grapes. It can be durian for some of you. It can be mangoes if it's, that's your favorite food. So that is the key. The key to a fruitful life is to abide as long as you're connected to God. Okay, question here is, are you connected to Jesus today? Okay. And Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship. A relationship, in order to have it growing and thriving, you know, and growing strong, you need attention, you need to put effort, you need to put communication, you know, into it so that it can grow. And we do not start a new relationship with someone just to keep it frozen in the fridge, okay? So we want our new relationship to blossom and to flourish, just like our relationship with God. You know, the moment when we receive Jesus, when we say the sinner's prayer, to invite Jesus into our life, it is only a start of our beautiful and wonderful relationship with the Lord. And to nurture this new relationship, we need to constantly come to God and commune with him. Or else, what happened to the relationship? Or else the relationship becomes so stagnant and stale without freshness. Okay? So this Abide series is focusing on the aspects of God's words taken from the book of John. And the book of John is believed to be written by John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And the theme is to show that Jesus is the divine Son of God. Total chapters is 21. Remember that, 2-1. And the popular verse is John 3:16. Everyone know it? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And what is the purpose of John writing this gospel is so that you and I may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. So is John's hope in the Gospel of John that the reader, when we read the book of John, we will respond with belief, with repentance, and a transformed life. So there were many signs and miracles. If you look at it, the first sign that Jesus did, the first miracle Jesus performed is none other than turning into wine. Okay? Hallelujah. And then beside that, you know, you have many miracles like how Jesus feed the 5,000, you know, and Jesus healed the sick and all this. So this new series, we have 6 parts. The Word became flesh and so on and so forth, where Pastor has started, kickstart the series by sharing the word became flesh. How God loved us so much that he wanted to draw near to us. He sent Jesus to be part of us, to be born as a human, as a man, and he walked on earth so that people can know him. Because Jesus' mission is to show the Father. If you see me, you will see my Father. Okay, and last week, Brother Casey shared about the word give life. How to have a meaningful life on earth. Don't wait until we breathe our last and then, oh, that is eternal life. We can live a meaningful life while we are on earth. And today, I will be continuing in part three, the word feeds our spirit. Wow, look at the bread. Okay, make me feel hungry. And this is the key verse, John 6:57 to 58. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, O God, for your word is always living and active. It will not return to you void, but it will accomplish your purpose and your desire. Holy Spirit, I just pray, O God, that you come, O God, and take the word, your very word, O God, and soften our hearts, get ready our hearts like a good soil, that every one of us will be so blessed by your word today. In Jesus' name, I pray, and everyone say, Amen. Okay, good. Now, talk a little bit about food. Food facts. Everyone eat, right? Okay, we need food. And, you know, food is very important. We need food to live and grow. It makes us strong and healthy, and it gives us energy. That's why we are here. We can move, right? We can. We are alive. We are breathing. Okay, so thank God for food. And talking about feeding. You know, just now the keyword said, those who feed, whoever feed on Jesus, they will live forever. Now, talking about feeding, while my children, I have three children, okay? They are still young, okay? But while they were very, very, very young, I used to feed them with lots of vegetables, okay? When I cook broth for them, you know, porridge, I put in different colors of vegetables. I've forgotten what kind of veggie, you know, but it's very colorful, okay? Whatever colorful vegetables I can catch hold of in the market, I will just dump in. So these are some of the secrets that my husband and my children don't know what I did to them. So, you know, as that time, while growing, you know, they were saying that, oh, you know, different veggies with different colors will give different nutrients to the child development. So I want my children to grow up as smart as their mother and their father, okay? And as bright as the colors of the vegetables. So I have no choice, okay? I have to put all these colorful vegetables. So, okay, Deborah, you're turning good, okay? Turning out good. And what about you, okay? All of you are grown up, you know. What is your favorite food? And how would you feel when the food is taken into your body? Now, when I eat my favorite food, I think most of you already know lah, you know, lechon and roast pork, you know. So I can feel, you know, the whole of the lechon with the crispy skin and the fats all traveling down my throat, you know, after I take lah, after traveling down my throat and finally landed in my stomach. So it made my life complete. That meal was like, okay, it's landed into my stomach, you know. The food becomes part of me. So I don't know, some of you like crispy duck or whatever thing, okay? So you just imagine, okay, that it, you know, finally it lands in your stomach and you feel complete. So the food we eat actually affects our whole being. If you eat something very good, your favorite food, right? Your whole day will be so nice, so complete. Yay, I got to eat this favorite food. You know, you will cheer up your whole day. And we take in food, three things. Three S, you can remember. To satisfy, to sustain us, and to strengthen us. Now look at John 6:57. As the living Father sent me, this is Jesus' words, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. I discover three things. I discover an order here. The first one is the Father. Life begins with God the Father. Life starts from God. He is the source of life. Secondly, I found that the Father sent the Son, Jesus. Jesus lived because of the Father. This is what Jesus said in the Word. Jesus lived on earth because of the Father, because God's life was in him. Now, Jesus was so connected with God the Father. In fact, he was connected directly to the source of life. That's why Jesus could do so many miracles, so many amazing things that the people have not seen before. Jesus has set an example for us how to abide as he abides in God the Father. And thirdly, Jesus offered his life of his to you and me. He said, whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. So Jesus extended an invitation to everyone, to you and me, to feed on him so that we will also live like how Jesus lived on earth. So to sum up this verse in my own words, I will say this. I live because Jesus lives in me. The life in me that I live comes from God, the Father. And, you know, we need to feed the life that is in us so that the life in us, that God-given life, can shine through us. And isn't it amazing to be connected to God through Christ in this manner? So, as we look at this verse, there is a parallel between our communion with Christ and Christ with the Father. I mean, Jesus was so connected to God. In most of the verses, you can find that he always make mention of God the Father. In this scripture, John 5:17, but Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. So if you reverse it, you say, I'm working because my Father is working until now. So no retirement for you people, okay? So I was like wanting to retire early this year. But God said, hey, he pointed these words to me and I said, God, okay, I will continue to work because you are working. So no retirement for me, okay? John 5:19. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. You see how connected Jesus is to God. Whatever he sees his Father doing, he does. Okay? So, as much as Jesus live God's life on earth, we who believe should also live the life of Jesus in the same manner. Jesus has set an example for us to follow his footsteps on his abiding in the Father. 1 John 2 verse 6 says this, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And in another version, Good News Translation, it says this, if we say that we remain in union with God, if we say that we are attached and connected to God, we should live just as Jesus Christ did. Yes. What did Jesus do? Or what did he do during his time on earth? Jesus forgave sinners. Jesus was moved with compassion when he see the people like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus loved the unlovable. He went all the way to meet the Samaritan woman, you know. And Jesus spoke with authority. So this is exactly what Jesus did and what he wants us to live and live just as he did. How can we live like Jesus did? The answer is found in the next verse. John 6:58. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Now Jesus was, you know, debunking the wrong worship that they have in his time. He knows very well that, you know, the people there always look up to Moses. Yeah, Moses is the one, you know, who gave us the bread and all this. But, you know, Jesus is saying, whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. So eternal life is connected to receiving Jesus. Whoever feeds on this bread, Jesus said, I am the bread that is from heaven. If you eat of me, if you feed on me, you will have eternal life. Another Bible version says this, whoever eats this bread will live forever. Now, Jesus has offered us this heavenly bread. You know, heavenly bread, it tastes better than whatever bread that we have, croissant, or I'm not so sure, but I'm not a bread people, you know. So, I mean, what Jesus is offering is a heavenly bread that can satisfy your deepest inner need, okay? And eating requires action. We really have to, when you say that we want to eat something, right? So we need to act on it. It's an active exercise. Similarly, believing in Jesus is also an active faith. We have to do something to take Jesus into our whole being. Now, seeing a loaf of bread will not fill your hunger, right? Taking pictures of the bread will not fill you. You know, you're still hungry because you didn't take it. Or knowing what are the ingredients of the bread will not satisfy our hunger until and unless we partake the bread. So same, likewise, may I encourage every one of us, take in Jesus, feed on Jesus, believe in him and his words. And Jesus has given this invitation, whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. In Isaiah 55 verse 1, he says that come. Wow, it's an invitation, come. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, wow, you don't need to have money to go to God to, you know, eat of him. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You know, I have a member in my life group, you know, that really loved to try good food. And he said, I will, you know, try food from Michelin star restaurant. Wow, I say, wow, what kind of standard is it, Michelin? I go and search, what is that, what is that? You know, got one star, second, two star, and three star, I think, up to that. So he said he really loved the food there, and because the food really tastes differently. But one thing only, you have to be willing to pay a very high price for the food. Maybe one day I will try. Now, Jesus, God the Father, has prepared a great banquet for us. And in Luke 14, it says of a man, it's a parable. It says of a man who is throwing a big party, you know, a big feast. And he invited his guests to come. Everyone say yes in the beginning. But when the dinner is prepared, the food is all laid on the table, fork, spoon, you know, everything is prepared. The man asks the servant, go out and ask the guest to come in. The dinner is ready. Please come. And guess what? You read Luke 14 and you see there are three responses. One after another turned down the invitation. The first one said, God, not God, sorry. He told the servant, sorry, I have just bought a field and I have to go and inspect it. You know, I have no time to come for your dinner. He turned down. In our context, it's like, wow, today I got a lot of work, you know. I can't attend life group. I just changed job, you know. I have a new job. My boss, you know, already, ayo. You know, he forced me to stay up late and all this, so I can't come, okay? So that is the first excuse. And the next excuse in Luke 14, it says that I have just bought 5 oxen. Wow. It's like in our context, maybe we say, oh, I've just bought five cars. Wow, five cars, you know, in a row. I have to take care of my car and I can't come, you know, sorry, you know. And the last one, guess what? He gave this excuse. I just got married. I have no time. I have to see to my spouse needs and all this. Sorry, I can't come. So the man who, you know, the master that have initiated the invitation was a bit upset. But thank God he didn't cancel the banquet, you know, while all the food will be gone to waste. He extended it to everyone. It's like, you know, today he's extended it to you and me. Because originally, God has intended that the Jews should inherit the kingdom of God. But then now, by his grace, all of us have been invited to this great banquet. So, for me, growing up, my mom will always prepare food on the table and make sure all of us eat from the table, okay? So, dining out is a no-no to my family. That's why when you come to Ipoh, you ask me to recommend you some good hawker food. I say, I'm so sorry. Growing up, I've never gone out to eat before. So, and among my siblings, I'm the most well-fed. You know why? Because I sapu, you know, I eat everything that my mom prepared on the table. That explains, you know. Okay, among my, if you see my siblings, my two brothers, they are as skinny as a lady, okay? So, I'm very blessed, you know. And for those young teens here, please remember to eat up all the food that your mom has prepared, okay? Or put on the table for those mom that are not cooking. Okay, so likewise, God, our Father, has prepared meals for us. Many dishes, many varieties. I tell you, when I go to the Word of God, it's like one day, you know, God show me chapati, one day Chinese food, one day pizza, whatever, you know. He will show me. And God has prepared a lot of food for you, more than enough to feed you a day, okay? So he wants to feed us, he wants to sustain us and strengthen us spiritually. So look at those nice dishes that God has prepared for you. And it is priceless. Money can't buy it. There is his peace, his love, his joy, his forgiveness, and his rest when you come to the table of the Lord. So I'm coming to this, you know, I'm going to share to you three steps. How do we feed our spirit so that the life in us will continue to, you know, shine brighter and brighter. People will see the life of Jesus in us more and more. So three steps. The first step is, wow, simple. Read the Word. Read the Bible. We cannot feed our spirit without receiving His Word first, okay? Just like eating. If today I prepare, you know, nice food for you, 8-course dinner, and you don't take even one spoon in, you can't be fed, okay? So you have to take in. So the only way to receive God's words is by reading the scriptures, reading the Bible. And, you know, when you read the Word, actually you are meeting Jesus. Because John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You are meeting Jesus in the Bible. So take time to read the Word. Stay, just like the song we sing, I choose to stay in your presence. You know, God now have a lot of gifts to give to you, you know. I think just now Mark say, well, every day you have gifts. Before he show up, please don't run away. I mean, he wanted to like reveal to you, hey, today I have this plan for you and all this. So stay, learn to stay. 10 minutes not enough, okay, 30 minutes. And make some progress in your spiritual walk with the Lord. Because 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture, the whole of the Bible, okay? All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproving, for correction, and for training in righteousness. It's like when you're going to the, you know, to God, it's like you're going to the gym, lah. You know, God is teaching you what is the truth and what is wrong, what went wrong, and how to correct the wrong. And in the end, you are able to apply the truth in your life. You are able to walk in the right path. And, you know, reading God's word gives you really clarity. Because sometimes we can be so confused, you know, by the words of people, by the words of media, you know, and the newspaper, you know. So you really need to align your thoughts with God's word so that it can give you comfort, wisdom, so that you can be strong, like the tree planted by living water. See, it's so flowery already. Okay, so next, okay, for those who are very technology savvy, you can download the Bible apps from YouVersion and start a reading Bible plan right now, because now it's still January, still not too late to do that, right? Can catch up. So I just want to encourage you that a reminder that reading the Bible is not about buying more and more Bibles and storing it in your shelf. Reading the Bible is not downloading the apps and park it in your phone home screen, okay? You have to go to the Word of God and receive His instruction and correction and guidance on a daily basis. So if you have never tried reading the Bible 1 year through, try this year, okay? Try and read it one go. Or maybe next year, you can read and pause and study it. Make some progress in your spiritual walk this year. Now, the next step, step two is, after reading the word, you have to believe the word. Now, proper eating. I'm not a dietitian, but I already studied a little bit, Google a bit. Okay, to eat properly, we need to eat slowly. Don't gobble your food. You have to eat slowly, and you have to chew your food. How many of you don't chew your food? Just swallow it. Chiwei, is it? No, ah? Okay. So, eat slowly and chew it. So, why? Because this will release the digestive enzymes that help proper digestion of your food to get the best nutrients out of your food. So, reading the Bible is a good start. Very good. If you have started reading the Bible, good. But in order for us to grow deeper in the Lord, knowing Him more and more, His character, we need to take the next step, that is to believe the word. If you don't believe the word, you may not see much breakthroughs in your life. How come I'm still having this anger, you know? How come I still cannot forgive my neighbor? How come I cannot, you know, be set free or in my debts or whatever it is? So, believe the word. And as you read John chapter 6, you know, Jesus performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000. Imagine Jesus feed 5,000 and there were left over 12 baskets of bread. So, wow, by then the crowd was building up already because, Jesus feed all of us. And the scripture recorded, they ate and they were satisfied, you know. What's the word satisfied? Sometimes we eat, but we are not satisfied. Not enough food, ma. Or, you know, the cooking not so tasty, lah, okay? But it was recorded in the Bible that the crowd ate it to their satisfaction. I tell you, when you come to God, you will never go back, you know, unsatisfied. Satisfaction guarantee when you come to God and you believe His word. So next one. You know, but sad to say, some responded, you know, when the crowd was following Jesus, some of them turned back, you know. You look at their response. After this, many of His disciples turned back and no longer walked with Him. You know, He has been walking and walking, you know, following Jesus. Very good. Signs after signs, miracles after signs, miracles. But they stopped halfway. So what did Jesus say to the 12? The inner circle, the disciples, do you want to go away as well? Imagine Jesus asking this question to His disciples where He has spent so much time with them. Do you want to go away as well? So sometimes, you know, when we are so tired, you know, in this journey, sometimes you want to give up or, you know, we don't see results or, God, you're not answering my prayer. Jesus still asked this question, do you still want to go away as well? You know, I'm glad for Simon Peter's reply. And it should be our reply too. What did he say to God, to Jesus? Lord, to whom shall I go? You have the words of eternal life. You know, when you open your Bible, there's eternal life everywhere. Every word, every footstop, comma. You know, when you really read intently, I tell you, you find so much joy in it. You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed. This is his confession. And have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. May this be the same reply that, come from us when Jesus asks us. Okay? So, for my story, I really, believe the word of God in and out and really trust that every word of God is true and true alone. And there was one time where I cannot sleep well, you know. This is my testimony. I am a very good sleeper, you know. You ask my husband, I lie down, I straight away sleep already. No problem, man. But there was one night I can't sleep. I cannot believe it. Why I cannot sleep? So what I did was, okay, God, please remind me of some of the verses that I have memorized before so that maybe I try it and I can sleep. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of John 14, verse 27. It says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And guess what? Immediately, I was able to sleep and put a smile. I don't know why. There was a smile on my face. And I just dozed off and slept like a log. I didn't snore that day. Okay. So I did not really need any special treatment to sleep. I just need the word of God. So whenever I go through any problem, challenges, issues in my life, first thing, God, where is your word? I need your word for this situation. And God is faithful. He'll remind me. Then I'm up again. Yay, you know, joyfully clapping my hands and I go on. Okay, amen. So, okay, lastly, the third step. The first step is read the word. Second one is you got to believe the word. And number three is to live out the word. Now, the process of eating. Continue, So once you chew the food, the whole of the food will go into your body system and it does all the work of digestion. So when we leave out the word, it is to act it out with the energy that is generated from the food. Okay? So we apply the word. So after you read, you believe, you are ready to do the works that you have never imagined to do. You're ready to step out in faith with the Holy Spirit giving you the bonus from his word, and do God's word greater works than he. Now, recently, my dad has a swell in the leg. And I've been reaching out to him, telling him that, you know, God loves you. Jesus really loves you very much. And he wants to save you. He wants you to taste his goodness. So that day, I boldly told him in Cantonese, because my father speaks Cantonese. You know, when you're in pain, you just talk to God. Like you're talking to me. Repeat this word. Say, God, simple words. I have this swell, you know. I'm very painful. God, please take away this pain. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. He was looking at my face intently. I don't know what happened. And at the end, he just said, amen. I mean, I was amazed, you know, at two things. At my father's response and also at my actions, you know. I was like, wow, God is good. Surely I can do the work of Jesus, you know. I can go and heal the sick. I can go out and lay hands, you know. I can preach the gospel. I can raise the dead. And all this, suddenly my faith so, you know, so buff up and all this. So, and I'm believing for my dad's salvation. Even, you know, this year, I mean, God is good. So, John 14 verse 12 say, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, you know, the step two, after you believe in me, you will also do the works that I do, and greater works than this will he do, because I am going to the Father. So when you do the works that Jesus did, you become his hands and feet reaching out and touching life. And John 4:34 says this, Jesus said to everyone, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. So Jesus came not only to seek and save the lost, but he came to do the will of the Father and to accomplish his work. What is the will of the Father? I don't have time to share. John 6:40 says this. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So this is the will of the Father, that everyone who look at Jesus, who receive his invitation, will believe and receive salvation. So likewise, when you feed on his word as food to your body, we will also do his work. Now, John 8:31 says this. So Jesus said to the Jews who have believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. A true disciple of Jesus Christ is one who abides in his word, is one that believes in him, and is one that do the Father's will. So, you know, our church has this tagline, we exist to honor God and make disciples. So let us be a disciple of God's word and do likewise, go and make a disciple who will also abide in his word. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, follow my example. He didn't stop there, but he continued to say, as I follow the example of Christ, as I follow Jesus, you follow me. So that is what the life of abiding is about. So as I end, three steps to take home. How to feed on Jesus. Read the word. Believe the word. And live out the word. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. You are so good, oh God. You did not leave us, oh God, Lord, alone. But you gave us, oh God, Lord, your word, your powerful word, your living word, oh God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. So, Lord, I pray for every one of us that we will take time, we will read your words, oh God, we will treasure, we will hold close, oh God, and store your words in our heart, so that, Lord, we can believe the power of this word, oh God, to transform us, to change us, and we will do your will, oh God, Lord. So make us a true disciple of you today, oh God. Bless every one of us here. It is your word, oh God, that brings life, oh God. In Jesus' name.